This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. The skies over Mersey Island, off the coast of Essex, south of Colchester, are huge. A massive domed canopy, deep blue at the height of summer, mercury grey in winter. Those skies never fail to remind you just how, well, insignificant you are. The land beneath them is pancake flat, as if squashed by the weight of all that air filling the vast space above. Mersey makes up part of those flat lands, with the River Colne and Pyefleet Creek to the north and the Blackwater Estuary to the south. Mersey is connected to the mainland by a causeway called the Strood and by a small foot passenger ferry at the eastern tip that crosses back and forth to Brightlingsea. Nobody's quite sure how long there's been a ferry at East Mersey. The island has been inhabited since before the Romans arrived, so it's quite possible there's been somebody taking passengers back and forth for a couple of thousand years or more. It's unlikely that any of them did it for quite as long as Horatio Mole. When he rode his last fare across the Colne in 1932, he was 76 years old and had been the Mersey ferryman for 52 years. For more than half a century, Horatio dipped his oars into the water and rowed back and forth between the same two points. No surprises, no detours. His eyes on the place he'd just left as he rocked rhythmically back and forth. He just pulled the boat through the water towards a destination he couldn't see, but always knew exactly where it was. He had regular passengers, familiar faces making familiar journeys for familiar reasons. And he had the one-offs, the people who'd stand nervously at the waterside, unsure of the rhythms by which Horatio worked, the rhythms of the tides, the rhythms of the oars, when to step into the boat and when to get out of the boat, when to hand over the scatter of coins the ferryman would drop into an oilskin pouch with a smile and a thank you. You can tell a lot about a person by looking at them for 20 minutes, the duration of the crossing, on a good day. Some passengers would sit silently, gazing at the water as it passed. Some would ask him about his work, his life, the waters, the island. Some would unburden themselves of their troubles and worries, surprising themselves with how easily the words came as they told their stories to the kindly face in front of them that loomed up and retreated with every pull of the oars. Horatio's father was a mariner, a fisherman, hauling up oysters and periwinkles. A man of the sea was George Mole, man and boy. Why else would he have called his son Horatio? Carrying the name of the immortal Nelson, well, it was inevitable that George Mole's boy would go to sea. And he did. He joined the Merchant Navy in 1870 at the age of 14 and spent 10 years seeing the world. But he missed the island. Missed that big sky and the clack and rattle of the oyster catch being unloaded, and the gentle pinks of summer sunsets over the mainland, and the smell of the sea at low tide. So, after a decade at sea, Horatio came home, to the island. 24 years old, and with stories to tell. And within weeks, he told most of them to Fanny King, who loved them, and loved him. And they married in 1882, a year after Horatio had taken over the ferry to Brightlingsea. There would be 11 children, fed and raised on the coins Horatio collected in that oilskin pouch, from the people for whom that stretch of water was an inconvenience and the ferry a solution. A small part of a much longer journey, either just beginning or just ending. But for Horatio, each crossing was the journey, and he'd get them there, safely, knowing every tide, every eddy, almost every splash of that short stretch of water. In 52 years, he'd acquired no stories of mishap, no dunkings, no sinkings. In half a century, he'd got every passenger safely from one side to the other. He had known tragedy, though. With his back to Brightlingsea, if he looked to the left, he could see the place where his sons, Bertie, Edgar and Arthur, had gone swimming that hot summer afternoon in 1909, when the school gave them a half day after an exam in the morning, and Bertie, with all the bravado of his 13 years, had gone out too far, and his brothers couldn't reach him, and he struggled, and he panicked, and he slipped beneath the surface at the very place Horatio had told them not to swim because the water got deep quickly there, and it was dangerous. And he knew that water better than anyone alive, and he thought they'd listened. And Bertie's brothers were distraught, and they gushed apologies between heaving sobs, and kept saying, "We nearly reached him, we nearly did, but we couldn't get close enough, and then there was just water, and he was gone." Horatio tried not to look over there, especially on hot days, when he'd hear the happy cries of children playing in the water. But the ferry saved him, really. Once he slipped into that rhythm and listened to the stories of the passengers, there was nothing else. Nothing else in the world but the oars, the people, the crossing, and the gentle bump of keel on shingle at each end. In 1929, when word had got around that Horatio had been rowing back and forth for 50 years, they sent a reporter down to mark the occasion. "One thing that I'm proud of is that I've never refused anyone a crossing. Never mind what the weather was like," he told the reporter. "I've gone across at all times and in all weathers, and never a single mishap have I met with during that whole time. I have known the water to be within an inch of the top of my boat, but I've always pulled through." One year was very much the same as another here on the island. The place I knew as a lad hasn't altered much. I can't say the changing times have brought a lot more business my way. The reverse is really the case, because with motor cars and buses, people have more facilities for getting to the mainland by road. But I'll still ply my boat as long as I'm able. And that may be a long time yet. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. Now, apologies for there being no episode last week. As I explained on Twitter and Facebook, I had a raging sore throat. I sound bad enough when there's nothing wrong with me, let alone when I'm all hoarse and croaky. But thanks for all the good wishes. Just about fighting fit again now. Do hit subscribe if you haven't already. And if you can, give us a solid gold rating or a review somewhere. That would be absolutely brilliant. And help get Coastal Stories noticed by more people. I know, it's our secret. But it's good to share.